This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And the Sim Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit BalanceofNature.com. People always ask him what he's doing these days. It's Phil Simms, two-time Super Bowl champion, and joins us every Wednesday around 8 a.m. Phil, good morning.
Well, I could maybe hear what you're saying if that damn music would stop. So,
yeah. In a good mood this morning.
This is great.
There you go.
What's that?
I said you're in a good mood this morning, it sounds like.
I'm always in a good mood, Boomer. Especially when I get a chance to talk to you, because it makes, you know, it just makes me feel good.
You're just an old, angry peckerhead.
That was Eddie playing a drop. That was not me saying that live.
No. Hey, you know what? Listen, that line was really it was in vogue back when I was growing up. I haven't heard that in a long, long time, so that was pretty good. So, Gio, how you doing, man? Are you recovered from your sideline stint down there during the game
absolutely.
On Sunday?
Absolutely. It's too bad we didn't get a great game, but what an experience down there.
What'd you think? Tell me what you thought when you saw the hitting, the players, and more importantly, I want to hear what you saw about the Giants offensive line.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so the thing, there was a couple of plays. And remember when Jalen Hyatt was hurt towards the end of the game? So the violence of that play, and guys trying to go up and get the ball and then landing at the speed that they were landing and him landing on the football, like that is just something you do not experience and you can't feel, you can't understand unless you're right there. But I also, you know, the thing with the Giants offensive line that was just, it was fascinating to me, and I said it on the broadcast, was you had a Zudu struggling so much, and like he didn't even take a breather on the bench. Like he was working on his technique the entire time. And he had two other guys who weren't in the game, in Stinney and Neal, that were helping him. So they were talking about his footwork. They were bull rushing him. They were doing all this stuff. I'm like, this guy's going to be exhausted because he's doing all the stuff in the game on the sideline. But also every Giant would pick him up. But man, I mean, that guy had no shot out there. And if they don't get that whole thing figured out, the Giants' offense is not going to have any shot for the rest of the year.
Well, yeah, no, they get to go against the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Yes, that's a great place to go when you're having tackle trouble with those pass rushers on the outside. I mean, it's really tough. And you know what, I think you said it, they were all saying, okay, keep your confidence up. And even in his interviews, he said, yeah, I got to stay confident, all these things. I go, wow, self-doubt is a terrible thing. So, boy, Giants are in a tough spot. But, you know, I'll put it this way. Boomer, you talked about it. The Eagles, they had two starters out, too. And it just kind of shows you where the teams are at. Their starters were out, and they still executed their offense the way they wanted to. So, tough game.
Yeah, I felt as soon as the Eagles got up two touchdowns, I'm like, there's just no way the Giants are going to be able to get back in this game. They throw the touchdown pass. It calls back because of OPI, and that was probably a ticky-tack call. But it's like they can't score at home, and I think Giant fans are frustrated, and they want a new direction for this team. And this weekend going to, as you said, Pittsburgh with Alex Highsmith now healthy again, and he's going to be going against that left tackle side, and it's not going to be easy for Brian Daboll and those guys to call plays. Let me ask you, since we got the Steelers on the line here, the performance of the Jets versus the Steelers, then they were up, 15-6 at one point in time. Aaron throws a...
Right before half.
Yeah, yes. And throws a really bad interception, and it kind of gets Russell Wilson going in the second half, because Russell Wilson was brutal in the first half.
Oh, he started off awful, and it just, look, Russell Wilson, been to Super Bowls, you know, had great success, you know, what do they call it, the moon ball. Oh, if I have to hear about the moon ball one more time, I'm going to smack myself. But he was nervous, it showed, and then he got off the hook with that interception. And you got to admit, Beanie Bishop, that interception right before half, I mean, that's one in about 1,000. To turn the other way, make the catch, you know, it was a great play, but it did turn the game around. And I think I heard Aaron Rodgers say this: we weren't that emotional or something like that. And he's right. But the Steelers, they were extremely emotional playing the game. My gosh, running the ball hard. They're two running backs. They acted like it was their last chance to ever be pro, playing pro football, the way they were running the football, the way they were running into that offense, you know, in the line. So, you know, the Jets, it's hard to believe you say that. Oh, we weren't emotional. How could you not be emotional when you know the season is getting ready to end if we don't win a game? And they go out there kind of flat, and it shows. And the last thing, Russell Wilson. Did you see what he said to one of the coaches in the game? Hey, don't worry, I'm going to catch fire. And
he had,
you know,
confidence.
So,
give him credit for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he had some confidence. Give him a lot of credit. You know, and I thought it was the way he started and the way he finished, I give him a lot of credit because, Boomer, come on, we know when you get in the funk throwing the football sometimes on the offensive side, it's not easy to get out of. And they did it with some good play calls, but also some good throws and catches.
The really big difference between the two teams, you have an interim coach in Jeff Ulbrich, he does not have an easy job, versus Mike Tomlin, who's got that Steeler DNA going. And you know right. that Mike Tomlin was talking all week about being on Sunday Night Football against Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And you know exactly what he was telling his team. And his team reflected who he has and who he has become as a coach.
Absolutely. I agree with everything. I mean, Mike Tomlin, he's got it. You know, in other words, he knows what buttons to push every single week. I would love to, and I really liked it when I was doing games he was coaching, to listen to him on those Fridays and what he would say to some of the players. You know, some it was positive, but he's got that needle, and he knows how to work people. And we would hear it. And of course, in our meetings were great with him, but you would hear all these things on the practice field. And he's not a coach who just stands there and watches. He sticks his finger in everything. And I wish Jeff Ulbrich could just take his headset off and run down the side, just walk down the sideline and yell at some people or do something like that. But I know he's trying to run the defense, manage the game, and everything else like that. But, you know, there are a lot of times, and almost my whole career, high school, college, everything, played for coaches who were emotional on the sideline and were telling players the truth. You better get going or this, you know, whatever it is. And the players and all those instances, usually we would react to it and get a little better, at least. So.
You would think so. Now, three wide receivers have been traded, Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams, and today we find out that DeAndre Hopkins going from the Titans to the Kansas City Chiefs. So
right.
Patrick Mahomes finally gets his top-end wide receiver, and how quickly do you think that they will be able to get in sync with one another?
Well, they should get in sync pretty quick. I mean, I hear this all the time, and, you know, you tell the receiver, here's the route, run it, don't worry, I'll get the ball to you. So it shouldn't be that difficult. And I love this all the time, and I got to get a feel for him. I mean, I don't know. Is it that difficult that we got to work together for 6 years before we really get it going? And, you know, so DeAndre Hopkins, I would think once he just gets a feel and learns the offense, he'll fit right in. He's not at the top of his career. I've watched him down in Tennessee. I'm sure he's very excited because, wow, the passing game for the Tennessee Titans is, what's the word for it? Awful. And, yeah, that's what it is. So it's a good spot for the Chiefs. It was a really good job by them just getting one more guy to solidify their football team, and they do need help on the offensive side. I will say that.
Talking to Phil Simms, the Simms Spotlight on Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Geo, you taking your balance in nature?
Yeah, I actually did this morning. Boomer witnessed
yes,
it.
Yes, I witnessed it, and that's why he's awake and ready to rock and roll and ready to ask you a very tough question right now.
Well, before he asks, let me ask this real quick.
Yeah.
So you two, are you always partners when you play golf?
No, not yesterday.
No.
Oh, you were against each other. I like that. So you get a little animosity going on, huh, and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
yeah,
I won.
Yesterday was a beatdown situation. But it was a beautiful day. It was like 80 degrees, no clouds in the sky. So I just...
Boomer, you shouldn't be taking your co-host and beating his butt on the golf course. I mean, come on. You were a professional athlete. How many strokes are you giving?
He got a shot a hole yesterday.
Yeah, but Boomer got a bunch of shots because we played with a scratch. We played with a zero.
We played with a plus six.
Yeah, plus point six.
Oh, plus point six. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought it was a plus six.
Wow.
Like, he couldn't have been a plus six.
No.
Because I would have been like Scotty Scheffler against
plus
us.
Plus point six.
Okay, yes. Okay, well, all right.
Now, all right, Gio, sorry. Go ahead. Let me hear what you got.
So this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to the Jets for a second. To me, they seem like they're rotten. It's not going to happen. 2-5. Boomer believes that there's a real good chance that they get to 6-5 by the bye. You know, win these next two games and get to, or three games and get back to 500. So I don't see it just because I haven't seen it. So just projecting forward from what you've seen from this team so far, when they get to that bye, can you see them going on a run and being 6-5, or is it just too difficult?
I would be surprised, you know, just in this, to win four in a row in the NFL. I don't care who you're playing. It's hard to be in that right frame of mind and have the emotional part that you want and players healthy, whatever it is. And the Jets are not what I would call a super team. And you know, they could be down, and one of these bad teams are playing. Even this weekend, the Patriots could be really up because they're excited about their quarterback who could actually throw the ball down the field and make big plays for their offense, which you have to worry about. And, you know, if they don't win this weekend, of course, I would just say it's over.
Oh,
I don't want to hear it anymore. Oh, my gosh, please. I don't want to turn the TV on here about the Jets if they lose this weekend. Because the Patriots really don't have one part of their team that they can rely on to say, well, if this part plays well, we will win. And I will say the big thing is Drake May is a guy that can make plays down the field and all that, but the Jets are the better football team. And I don't know if you heard this, Bill Belichick talked about Jerod Mayo, said our defense is soft. And Bill Belichick goes, well, it was the best part of the team last year, and it's the same players, so I don't know why they're soft, or something like that.
Well, he knows why they're soft, because he's doing TV, and he's not coaching on the sideline. taking a shot at Jerod Mayo, I guess.
No doubt about it. I just thought, okay, there you go. He's not holding back. So, but yeah, so it would be tough, Gio, but it's got to start this weekend. Don't look farther than that.
So I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about teams that possibly could turn their seasons around. Now, it looks like Tua's going to play for the Dolphins. I'm just wondering, Bengals, Dolphins, Jets, one of those three teams turn their season around and make it to the playoffs?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, I would not even hesitate. I'll take the Bengals in that, you know, because, one, they've got the defense back. They got some players that were hurt. They're playing better. We saw that when they played the Giants. And they have that guy, you know. They got the wide receiving group, and they got the quarterback that can play under any circumstances and get it done. So the Bengals would be the team I would definitely pick.
Yeah, you're talking about Bill Belichick and some of the things he's been saying in the media. I've really, really enjoyed it, and I know you know Bill very well. So what's your take on the beginning of his media career so far?
Oh, my gosh. I think it's been really, really good. And, you know, the thing about him is he's got a personality, and he can be funny, which every week I watch him, and it seems like he's getting more open and sane. But the other thing, I just sit there and listen to him. I go, I'll get my pen ready because I'm going to steal some stuff he says, you know, because he's dead on with almost every point he makes about every team, situation, coach, whatever you want to know. It's really, really good. So, I think – if he does come back to coaching, I really believe the fact that he has been in the media so much will help him as a head coach next year. I do. It's just something you learn about seeing things differently because you're not in there every day, and you look from afar and you see things that you maybe didn't know before. So that'll be interesting.
You know, you can tell he's a football savant because all of this stuff is coming extemporaneously off the top of his head. You know, he's not watching tape and all that other. I can't imagine that he would be. He's got a nice.
Oh no, he's watching tape.
They're probably doing different things during the week and going pumpkin patch hunting and things of that nature. So, he's just like off the top of his head. He can just basically go down every single roster with every single coach and every single team because he is a football savant.
Yes, he really is.
All right, so is he coaching somewhere next year?
I think he will. I would say this, though. Let me tell you, when I did all those games with the Patriots over the years, I would be nervous in every one of those meetings with Bill Belichick, because if he asks you a question about his team or the team they're playing or anything that's happened, if you don't have the answer, he'd like literally would tune you out forever. And you know, you had to work overtime to get ready for the interview with Bill Belichick. And we had some close encounters. I said once, hey, when you played this four-down defensive line once and blah, 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 he looked at me and goes, we didn't play four defensive linemen ever in that game. I went, oh, my God, did I make a mistake? And this went on. And finally he goes, oh, you know, Phil, you're right. We did in the third quarter, whatever. And I was like, wow, what a relief. I mean, I truly was sweating going, I really screwed this up. But that's working. Even with the TV crews, he wanted to make sure you were doing your job to come cover them and tell the truth. So last thing, but I know you guys are going to go. But you talked about assistant coaches, offensive coordinators. Boomer, you're right. Ben Johnson turned down jobs, didn't interview for some, whatever. When is a team, like Detroit would be the perfect example, going to go to the offensive coordinator? We know you want to be a head coach, but we got a great thing going here. And pay him, not like a head coach, but close to it. And I just keep waiting for that day where somebody's going to hold on to their really good offensive coordinator because they're going to pay him so much. Why would you want to go sometimes? I know you want to lead the team, but you're safe. You got the quarterback. You got everything you want to have success as a coordinator and do that. So,
that's the dream of every coach, though, a football coach, is to be a head coach in the NFL. It's a tough thing to turn down multiple years.
Yes, I understand. But when you stay in a situation that's great, which Ben Johnson did, he could have had jobs. Yep. I mean, I know that for a fact. And he turned them down for many reasons. I think, one, he knew what they had going on in Detroit. And, well, whatever he's doing, it's probably one of the top three offenses in design and for the quarterback in the NFL. And, of course, his quarterback, it's real. Jared Goff is, I heard y'all talking about it. He's not playing good. He's playing great. So. Yeah.
And I love the fact that Brian Flores is the Vikings defensive coordinator, because I don't think he's going anywhere as a head coach because he sued all the owners. So it's like perfect. He can stay there for the rest
well, that's
of his
a good
career.
Point. It's a good point, but he ran up against the guy this past week that actually won the battle against him because they had the players and they had the system, and it was just enough to give Detroit a close win. But what a great game to watch. I did watch that on Monday or sometime. A lot of fun, just a lot of good play, and some really good coaching on both sides.
All right, Phil, great talking to you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, thank you for having me on. Good luck.
All right, it's the great Phil Sims.
He likes that, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
That's like a Kentucky thing.
Yeah, it's sponsored by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio.
Oh, my gosh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.